John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18. We'll actually be reading into chapter 16, verse 4. Open your Bibles there with us. Jesus makes some very troubling predictions in our text this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, even the hard parts. And I pray that you would use your word by the power of your Holy Spirit to educate us, to make us aware of things that are happening in this world and why they happen. Strengthen us, comfort, encourage. Make us alert. Teach us how to live in this world, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I don't like truth that is sugar-coated. I don't like people to talk down to me. I don't like to be patronized. I'm a big boy. I like to be told the truth. I want to know exactly what to expect, and that's one of the many things that I appreciate about Jesus. He just tells us the truth. It's not watered down. It's just foolproof. And this morning, we're going to see some tough truth that he tells us in advance. You know, there's no better life than being a Christian. The blessings are wonderful. Amen? The blessings that we enjoy as Christians in this life are incredible, and the blessings that are coming are going to be wonderful. No better life to live than the Christian life. However, it is difficult following Jesus at times because we do live in an anti-Christian world. We live in hostile surroundings. We did not board a cruise ship when we became Christians. We got on board a battleship. And Jesus tells us that very plainly in advance. Let's read what he predicts here in verse 18, speaking to the disciples and by extension to us as Christians. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world, what? Hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. All these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Okay, so two predictions here, both of them bleak. Number one, Jesus predicted that the world would hate his followers. Very clear. I've chosen you out of the world, the end of verse 19. Therefore, the world hates you. The world hates Christians. And I know that's a very strong word, isn't it? That word hate, to abhor, to detest, to despise. In modern day vernacular, Jesus is saying, as a Christian, the world will hate your guts. And it is a strong word. But it's the word that Jesus uses. In fact, he uses it 8 times in the verses that we just read. The world hates Christians. Now, when Jesus predicted that the world would hate Christians, he's not speaking of all of humanity on planet Earth. He's not saying that every non-believer in your life hates you, though a lot of non-believers in your life do hate you. He's using the word cosmos, which in the Greek speaks of the secular system at large, the general, organized, unregenerate society apart from God. You could think of it as the worldly system that's under the control of the god of this world, little g, the devil. That system hates Christians. And many, many non-believers being a part of that system hate Christians. And the hatred toward the Christian faith, the Christian way of life, I think is so obvious in our society. There are many political leaders that hate Christianity. You can tell. They hate the whole Christian way of life. Media leaders, entertainment, Hollywood. Many of that influence there expresses a hatred towards Christianity and the Christian way of life. And it's so interesting to me because we do live in a society, in a secular society that preaches tolerance, right? I mean, in this society, we have to be tolerant of everything, don't we? We have to walk on eggshells around everybody. We have to be so tolerant, you know, of Muslims, of the militant homosexual agenda, militant pro-choice agenda. And secular society is open-armed to almost everything that you can possibly think of that's anti-Christian. But they're not tolerant towards Christianity, are they? To be tolerant of everyone else, there's a hatred. I'm a member of, I'm on the board of the local chapter of Child Evangelism Fellowship, CEF. And the ministry, their goal is to get a Bible club, a good news club in every elementary school here in El Paso. And by the way, our church sponsors one, and it's growing like crazy over there at Putnam. They've had to move out of the classroom. They're going to go into the cafeteria. Kids being taught the Bible. Well, our sister church on the east side, Calvary Chapel, El Paso, they're trying to get a good news club, a Bible club, in one of the Socorro Independent School Districts. And the principal said, no, we can't allow you to do that. And so now they've taken it to the head of that district. No, we can't allow you to do that. Now, this is despite the fact that the Supreme Court has already issued forth an equal access law. It's going to be a fight just to get a Bible club in one of those schools. Not tolerant. And at the same time, last week I heard a chilling story of a couple of young girls, I think 7 or 8, twins. They came home to their Christian parents after a pretty traumatic day for them at school. They said, Mommy, there was a special guest there, and Mommy, this guest said that we could really be boys. And Mommy, I don't want to be a boy. I don't like boys. Mommy, I want to be a girl. I want to be a girl. Of course, the Christian mother said, you are a girl. That's how God created you. So you got all kinds of junk, garbage, confusion in public schools, but they won't allow a Bible club. The worldly system hates Christianity. Hates the way of Christianity. The morals. Jesus predicted that that would be true. Jesus also made a second prediction here that comes out of hatred, action. He predicted that the world would persecute Christians. Look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you are a Christian, the world will persecute you. The Greek word dioko is a word that means to pursue with great passion and haste, to chase. And of course, the idea is persecution is to chase in order to expel, kick out, silence voices, get rid of it. The world wants to get rid of Christianity. The world wants to get rid of the Christian influence, get rid of Christians. And the worldly system has been very, very busy in our culture, in our society, and they've actually been very, very successful too. The worldly system has succeeded in formally, officially, kicking Bible reading out of public schools. Officially, formally, kicking prayer out of public schools. I mean, the worldly system has succeeded in, you know, you can't believe it, making sure that the Ten Commandments aren't hung in courtrooms. The Ten Commandments. Is that offensive in a courtroom? Thou shalt not kill? The worldly system makes sure that no crosses can be seen on public land or manger scenes, right? The worldly system goes after businesses that are owned and operated by Christian men and women who won't do things that they don't believe in according to the scripture. Those businesses are targeted and sued. Christian corporations, the world targets them to get them to, fund with their health plans certain medical procedures that they don't believe in. Drowned out their voices. We're watching very carefully what's happening in California. Resolutions are being proposed and adopted that basically accuse Christian pastors of hate speech just for simply preaching the plain teaching of biblical morals as found in the scripture. You mark my words, you're going to see Christian pastors dragged off to jail for preaching the morals of scripture. Shut up, the Christians. Neutralize them. Kick them out. Jesus predicted that that would happen. By the way, Christian persecution has become violent throughout history. And it can be violent. In fact, it's extremely violent even to this day. I want you to look at some specific predictions here. Look into chapter 16. Verse 1, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Here it goes. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. That's violent. Jesus told his disciples, there's coming a time when you're going to be kicked out of the synagogues. Now you remember, the first Christians in the early part of church history were Jews. Jews became Christians. The disciples were Jews that became Christians. They were kicked out of their synagogues. Basically kicked out of their families, their communities, their way of making money. They lost everything. Jesus predicted to these guys that one day people are going to kill Christians in the name of God, thinking they're doing God's service. How twisted is that? There's a great example of that. There's a man in the book of Acts, in the early chapters of the book of Acts, and his name is Saul of Tarsus. Do you remember that guy? He was a Pharisee. He was a rabbi. He was a radical zealot for Judaism. And when Christianity came on the scene, he became one of the chief persecutors of Christians, dragging them to prison, hunting them down. He was there at the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Saul of Tarsus. In a wonderful miracle of God, Jesus saved Saul of Tarsus and turned him into Paul the Apostle. Do you remember that story? Isn't that so God? Take the worst persecutor of the church and turn that person into the greatest defender of the church. Paul, looking back on his days before he got saved, says to Timothy in 1 Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. There are going to be lots of people like that who are ignorant of the real God, persecuting and killing those who know the real God. Jesus predicted it would be that way, and it'll get worse and worse and worse. Throughout history, we've seen it. One Bible historian says some of the worst persecutions have been done in the name of God, even though God remains unknown to the persecutors. All of these predictions, hatred, persecution, martyrdom even, came true in the lives of those first disciples. They were all hated. They were all persecuted. In fact, most of them were martyred. Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword wound. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. John faced martyrdom when he was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. However, he miraculously was delivered from death. John was then sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos, as you know, where he ends up writing the book of Revelation. Peter was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross, according to church tradition, because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way that Jesus Christ had died. James the Just, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with a fuller's club. James the Greater, a son of Zebedee, beheaded at Jerusalem. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, martyred for his preaching in Armenia when he was flayed to death by a whip. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. Jude, the brother of Jesus, was killed with arrows. Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot, was stoned and then beheaded. Paul, the apostle, was tortured and then beheaded by the evil emperor Nero in Rome, AD 67. Jesus promised, Jesus predicted. And you know what? It happened. And by the way, many, many Christians have been tortured, beaten, imprisoned, martyred. The early part of church history, the Roman Empire, you know the stories. And throughout history, I've been told that we live in a world today where there's never been more persecution of Christian men and women all around the world, in the Muslim nations, in the communist nations, the things that are going on. And thank the Lord that hasn't come here yet. But one day it might. Because the world hates Christians. Hates the Christian way of life. And seeks to persecute Christians, to get rid of it, to purge the globe of Christians. Okay, question. Why? Why does the world hate Christians so much? There are four reasons that Jesus gives in our passage. First of all, the world hates Christians because Christians are different. Unique. They're so different from the rest of the world. Jesus says in verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Listen, if you're a Christian, you're separate. You've been handpicked, chosen out of the world. You're different. A true born-again Christian doesn't think like the world. They don't act like the world. They don't talk like the world. A born-again Christian is completely out of sync with the world. The world revels in sin. Christians don't do that, I hope. The world worships wealth and money and materialism. Christians aren't to behave like that. They're different. Listen, if you are a born-again Christian following Jesus, everything about your life will be in stark contrast to the way the world lives. You will literally be like a fish swimming upstream, right into the flow of the world going this way. And the world hates you for that. You're different. I read about the guy who invented the umbrella. His name is Jonas Hanway. And I read that the first time he sported his umbrella in the rain, people threw rocks at him. They didn't like anybody being different than they were, having something better than they have. So they sought to do away with him. That's just like the world. They like to throw rocks at people who are different. And I'm telling you, man, if you are a Christian, you are different. Radically different. And the world hates you. Every born-again Christian, I believe, if you call yourself a Christian, every single true born-again Christian should be feeling some of that pushback. Some of that hatred. Some of that persecution. Paul said in Timothy, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you don't have any opposition, I mean, you be careful if you're the Christian that everyone talks about positively. Jesus said in Luke 6, woe to you when all men speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Listen, you better have some enemies. And I'm not saying go out there and be a creepo and intentionally make enemies, but your Christian influence should attract hatred, persecution. Now, maybe you're the Christian, you're a true born-again Christian, and you come to church every now and there and you sit, and then you go out and you live your life just like everyone else in this world. You may not experience any. Well, congratulations, you've made life much easier for yourself. But you're not making a difference at all in this world. And when you die, you'll leave a lot of friends and family members behind who never saw the truth lived out in your life. There's got to be something different about us. Amen? Secondly, the world hates Christian because the world hates Jesus. Absolutely true. In verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Listen, this world hates Jesus. And the hatred, I mean, it's hard to figure out why. I mean, think about it. God sends his son. Jesus, the Son of God, comes to planet Earth. And how does the world receive him? How does the world treat Jesus? Well, they treated him to the worst form of execution invented by the human race. They tortured him. They hated Jesus. And then Jesus rises again the third day. That's awesome. And you begin to discover lately, and the word gets out, well, wait a minute. Nobody really killed Jesus. Jesus gave his life. He gave himself. Why? So that all of the sinners in the world could be forgiven of their sins and have the hope of heaven. And the world hears that and they still hate Jesus. There's this hatred towards Jesus. The worldly system, folks, it's supernatural, spiritual warfare. There's a hatred towards the only one who can save the souls of men and women. And as a Christian, you're linked to him. So they hate you. Try not to take it personal. You know, I know a lot of Christians, well, they don't like me. Unless you're giving them a reason not to like you about something. Most of the times the persecution and the hatred directed towards you is really directed towards the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you. Third, the world hates Christians because it does not know God. Verse 21, Jesus says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake because they do not know him who sent me. Verse 3, and these things in chapter 16, and these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. The world hates Christians because the worldly system doesn't know God. They don't know God and they don't know the Son of God. And a lot of that is willful ignorance, choosing to believe in theories like evolution rather than the plain and simple truth that everything's been created by a God. There are some that love some form of God and they talk about God, but they have no clue who the true God is. And I'm telling you, if only people took the time to find out who the real God is and who his son is, they'd love him. If only people took the time to find out what God's word says about where everything went wrong with the human race and all the work that God has done to fix it and the sacrifice that has been made so that sinners can be forgiven, if only they took, they'd love God. But the world doesn't care to find out anything about the real God. They don't know God, therefore they hate Christians. Think about it. In a society where there is no God, there's no knowledge of God in a society, what happens to that society? Oh, man. Everyone for yourself, right? Survival of the fittest. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Get everything that you can out of this life, and don't let there be anyone tell me differently. If they try to control me, I hate them. I'll live my own life. There's no God. Fourth, and I think this one is so important, listen carefully. The world hates Christians because Jesus exposed sin. And sinners don't like to be exposed. And as a Christian, you're linked with Jesus. Look at verse 22 very, very carefully. Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. This is very important. God sent his Son. The Son of God came here. He's the light of the world sent into a dark world. He lived like nobody else has ever lived. He taught like nobody else has ever taught. The perfect Son of God came to planet Earth. He did miracles. He did things like nobody has ever done. And the work that he did included offering his life on the cross for the sins of the world and on the third day rising again. The life of Christ exposes the fact that there is sin, that there are sinners, and that sinners need to be forgiven by faith through him. So that really, there is no excuse. And sinners don't like to be exposed. There are people who live in sin and they want it and they keep it and they do not want to be exposed. They do not want to be called out. They do not want to be told, hey, man, you're accountable for your sin. No, they react with hatred. True story, an old African chief came out of the jungles. There was a mission organization that had sort of moved in, and this guy walked out just to see what was going on, and he was standing outside one of the huts, and on a tree was a mirror. This guy had never seen a mirror before, ever. He walked up to it and looked at his reflection, and he could see the hideous paint on his face, and some of the evil icons that were inscribed down the face and the mud matted in the hair. And he took one look at that and jumped back in horror. And he said to the missionary, who's that horrible man living inside the tree? The missionary said, that's not a horrible man living inside the tree. You've just seen your own face. Chief would not believe it. That's not me. And I took the mirror off the tree and kind of moved it around. Finally, he said to the missionary, I want this mirror. Give it to me. The missionary said, okay, you can have it. The chief holding the mirror said, never again will this thing be able to make those faces at me. He threw it down, broke it into little pieces. He did not want who he was seen any longer. It showed him the truth, and he didn't like the truth. And that's how the world in many ways reacts to the ugliness of their own sin. You get exposed with it. The world says, don't you dare do that to me. And reacts in hatred. We're told in John chapter 3, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. There's many people on this planet that are just like that. They know all about Jesus. They know all about the light. They've heard the gospel, but they don't want any part of it because they like their darkness. I pray that's not you. It's a horrible thing to have your sin exposed, but if you react the right way and come to the light, come to Jesus and say, yep, that's me. I'm the horrible man in the tree. Thank you for dying for me. fix me, save me. He will. So Jesus predicted the world will hate Christians. The world will persecute Christians. And now we know why. Because we're different. Because the world hates Jesus. Because the world doesn't know God. And because sin has been exposed. I hope that helps. I hope that enlightens you to some of the things that are going on in your life. And I pray that that won't cause you to go put your head in the sand. It's a fight. It's warfare. But don't stop fighting. Go out there. Take it on the chin at times. Don't give up. And you want to know why? This is so important. Because if you continue to serve Christ in these hostile surroundings, there are people that are going to come to the Lord through you. And for the sake of them, don't give up. There's a wonderful promise. You have to see it. Look again in verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Did you hear that? Okay, so Jesus comes on the scene, persecuted like nobody else in all of history. And yet also spoke the word and many came to faith, right? And he says, the same thing will happen to you. If you're a Christian out there making a difference, yep, people are going to persecute you. But also, some people are going to hear the truth. And they're going to come to Christ through you. And for the sake of those people, don't you dare give up. There's people that the Lord wants to save through your witness. That's why we should wake up every morning as Christians to look for these people. These people that need to know the Lord. Jesus promises some will hear your word and keep it. Be looking for those opportunities. I was so blessed last night. I officiated at a wedding ceremony. And a beautiful couple. And afterwards, there was the reception, and we were sitting, Kim and I were sitting at a table, and a young man named Derek and another lady named Lily came and sat with us, and we got to talking with them. And they had flown in just for the wedding, and they were flying out this morning, very good friends. And I was talking to Derek, and you know, he's telling me his story about how rough he had it and how crazy and everything in life was falling apart. And then he said, but then the groom, 10 years ago, in his office, led me to Jesus Christ. And he changed my life. And you know what? I've been speaking with that guy weekly. Month by month, he's been mentoring and training me up. Hey, two businessmen in an office, and one guy's life being changed forever. It's beautiful. You're going to take some hits. But you're also going to see God do some wonderful things in people's lives. By the way, you also will have help. Very quickly, look at verse 26. Jesus said, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus has spoken and promised, and we've looked at this. The Holy Spirit will come. He promised. He will be your helper. He'll come and live inside of you. And here Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will bear witness of Jesus all over the planet. And the Holy Spirit living inside his people, living inside you, will help you to bear witness. The Holy Spirit will help you
Yep. To take it on the chin and keep moving forward and knowing how to deal with all of the tough things you face. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say as you seek to witness and share. The Holy Spirit will change your life. The Holy Spirit will help you to live a life that shines. There's help. You don't have to do this by yourself. And by the way, let's hope that the church will be a community that gets together and helps one another. Isn't it great to know that you have brothers and sisters that got your back? That pray for you, that care about you? There's also a great reward coming. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." Isn't that crazy? Blessed are you. It's like, oh, how happy. That's the word. Oh, how happy are you when people treat you like that. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're in good company. There's a few groups of people that I would like to address as we're closing down. First of all, if you're a brand new believer here this morning, brand new, maybe you've just recently become a Christian, and perhaps you're feeling that and you're thinking, you're feeling this ugliness directed at you, and it's like freaking you out. I hope you understand what's going on. Hang in there. Ray Stedman said, "Perhaps the strangest puzzle to a new Christian is the sudden and always surprising hostility he meets when he first tells his family or his friends about the life he has found in Christ. In the past, when he shares with them about joys he has found, they all become excited with him and react positively, but when he tells them about Christ, he runs into a strange resistance. No one seems interested. They look at him strangely. They draw back and do not encourage him. This has confused and bewildered many a new Christian." I hope you understand why that happens. Stay true. Hang tough. Keep loving your family members. Keep loving your friends. Keep telling them. Many of them are going to come around. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you are serving Christ, but you are going through the fires of persecution and hatred. And maybe you're this close to quitting. Don't. In fact, you're doing a lot right. And there's those people that will come to Christ through you. Maybe you're here this morning as a Christian, and like I said earlier, you don't face any persecution. Buddy, you should get a little more saltier. Don't waste your life. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to some of you this morning, and maybe the fact that you're a sinner, which in the past has been distasteful for you, but it's being exposed. And it's being exposed so that you can be saved, so that you can come to Jesus and let him save you. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Lord, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters, including me, including everyone who would hear this message. Fortify us. Strengthen us. Give us resolve, Lord. Thank you for the heads up, Lord. Now help us, Lord, to keep serving you.
with all that we have, Lord, for the sake of many that need to be saved. Use your people in a wonderful way. Wake up, Lord, those who are sleeping. Convict those who are playing games. Protect, heal, and comfort those who are in the fires. And Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who's never opened their heart to you. That could be you this morning. Jesus died for you. The Son of God left heaven, came to earth on a rescue mission to save sinners, to wash sins away. Has he washed your sins away? Have you placed your faith in him? Have you asked him to be your Lord and Savior? Please do so right now, right now. It's a cry of the heart. It's a simple prayer. It's a cry of faith. Just cry out to Jesus right now. Say, Lord Jesus, save me. Wash away my sins. Thank you for the sacrifice you made for me. Dying on the cross for me. I admit my sinfulness. I need to be forgiven. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.